This is VOA News. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd. The U.S. Justice Department has charged three North Korean computer programmers in a broad range of global hacks, including a destructive attack that targeted an American movie studio and an extortion scheme aimed at attempting to steal more than $1.3 billion from banks and other financial institutions. John Demers is an assistant attorney general for national security.
The DPRK's malicious activities are a global problem, requiring global awareness, condemnation, and cooperative disruption. With this indictment and related disruptions, the United States continues to do its part.
According to the indictment, the hackers were part of a conspiracy that attempted to steal more than $1.3 billion in money and cryptocurrency from banks and companies, unleashed a sweeping ransomware campaign, and targeted Sony Pictures Entertainment in 2014 over the Hollywood movie The Interview, which depicted the assassination of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The White House's senior national security official for cybersecurity, Ann Neuberger, is warning of continued fallout from the SolarWinds software computer hacking that led to a massive breach of government departments and private corporations last year. Updating what is known about the hack, Neuberger described it as most likely Russian in origin, but said investigations are continuing.
This is a sophisticated actor who did their best to hide their tracks. We believe it took them months to plan and execute this compromise. It'll take us some time to uncover this layer by layer.
Thus far, Neuberger said nine federal agencies and 100 private sector companies have been compromised. The hack, connected to tainted software from the U.S. firm SolarWinds, was publicly revealed in December but believed to have begun more than a year earlier. This is VOA News. Security officers have fired shots at protesters in Mandalay as widespread demonstrations against the military coup in Myanmar continue. Reuters' Libby Hogan has more.
With bonnets up and hazard lights flashing, cars appeared to be broken down across Myanmar's largest city of Yangon on Wednesday. It was the latest creative protest against the military coup, from taxi drivers, commuters, and even public transportation employees. Their aim was to block military and police from moving in on protesters. Tens of thousands of demonstrators flooded the streets of Yangon and were joined by celebrities and veteran activists.
That's Reuters' Libby Hogan. Japan's first coronavirus shots have been given to healthcare workers, beginning a vaccination campaign considered crucial to holding the already delayed Tokyo Olympics. AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
The massive drive comes after the government gave its belated first approval on Sunday for shots developed and supplied by Pfizer, which had been used in many countries since December. But progress the campaign might make is uncertain in a country where people are often reluctant to take vaccines due to worries of side effects. Another complication is that supplies of imported vaccines are a major concern because of supply shortages and restrictions in Europe, where many are manufactured. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Joe Biden supports the idea of studying possible reparations for Black American descendants of slaves. AP correspondent Mike Gracia reports.
The White House said Wednesday President Joe Biden supports studying the legacy of slavery, but Press Secretary Jen Psaki stopped short of saying Biden would sign a bill authorizing reparations for descendants of slaves.
He'd certainly support a study, but we'll see what happens through the legislative process.
On Capitol Hill, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas is co-sponsor of H.R. 40.
Clearly, we require reckoning to restore national balance and unity.
Polling suggests resistance to government reparations for the descendants of slaves. In the fall of 2019, an Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll found only 29% of Americans supported paying cash reparations. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Rush Limbaugh, the talk radio host who ripped into liberals and laid waste to political correctness with a merry brand of malice that made him one of the most powerful voices on the American right, died Wednesday of lung cancer. He was 70. His rants during his three-hour weekly radio show, broadcast on nearly 600 U.S. stations, influenced the rightward push of conservatism and the rise of Donald Trump. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.